24 and 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing on this service. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Thank you that we will receive the message, and what needs to be said will be said. And thank you, Father, that we all leave here refreshed and encouraged and ready to grow and be obedient to you. In the wonderful, precious, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in the church building said, give the Lord some praise, everybody. Crazy days. Can I get a witness? Crazy days. We live in crazy days, but God's on the throne. So John 12, 24 and 25, that's our main verses for today. We're going to jump around, but that's kind of our home base. Now, what's going on here is Jesus Christ has just made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Not long after that, with the weight of the crucifixion and arrest weighing on Jesus, and knowing that he'll be arrested and crucified in only a few days, Jesus uses this illustration, talking to some of his disciples. He uses this illustration of a grain of wheat that if it falls to the ground, if it's buried in the earth, if it dies, it'll bear much fruit. He's talking about his mission. He's talking about what he's about to do. He's talking about fulfilling the plan that God the Father has for him. But also, he's talking to me and you. Obviously, he's talking to me and you, but he's saying, you, if you want to be my follower, you got to be willing to die to self. You got to be willing to lay down your life, whatever that looks like, whatever that means. Be willing to give up anything for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he's asking of us. That's what he's preparing us for. Can I get a witness? So, truly, truly, let's go to the next slide. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. If the monitors aren't working today, we can just shut them things down. We've got our bulletins. Whatever you think's best back there. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. So if a seed is not planted in the earth, it's not going to be what it's supposed to be. If a seed is not planted in the earth, it's not going to do what it was supposed to do. You can set a seed on your countertop. It ain't going to do nothing. It's just going to rot eventually. Okay? But if that seed is planted and it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. So if Jesus, this is Jesus talking about his mission. So if Jesus decided, I'm not going to go to the cross, that'd be a huge problem. Can I get a witness? There would be no forgiveness of sins. There would be no eternal life for me and for you. Amen. But Jesus was adamant about fulfilling God's plan for Jesus's life. Look at John 12 and 27, church people. John 12 and 27. This is just a couple of verses down from our main verses today. Now listen to Jesus, and I want you to, as best as you can, listen to what Jesus is saying. Let it pierce your heart. This is the Son of God. This is the Savior of humanity. Or this is your Savior. Think about that. Jesus Christ is your Savior. He paid for your sins. Now listen to what Jesus Christ is saying before he went to that cross. Now is my soul troubled. This is Jesus talking. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Doesn't that make you just a little bit sad to think about our Lord and Savior, where his soul is in anguish, thinking about what's lying ahead, not just the physical torment. I mean, that's mind-boggling in itself. the betrayal of your brother being sold out for 30 pieces of silver, the Son of God, the creator of the universe being sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And none of this was hidden from Jesus. You know, he knew this was happening. You know, not just the physical torment, but to know that he was going to be paying for the sins of all humanity. His heart is troubled, but he says, I am adamant about being obedient to my Father. I will be obedient to my Father. Can we give the Lord some praise this morning? So John 6 and verse 38, just follow along on your bulletin. John 6 and verse 38, this is Jesus. See, that grain of wheat, it's got to die. If you don't plant it in the ground, it's not going to be what it was meant to be. It's not going to do the mission that it has. Amen? Can I get a witness? But here's Jesus saying, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be obedient to my Father. And then John 6 and verse 38. Now listen up, church people. John 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven. This is Jesus. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will. Look, this is Jesus Christ talking here. So who in the world do we think we are to say, you know, I'm going to spend my life in the pursuit of my own selfish happiness. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm the master of my destiny. I'm driving this boat. That's not the right way to look at it, church people. Look at what Jesus says. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's Jesus saying, look, I'm here to be obedient to my Father. If the Father tells me to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. That's the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. And that's our template that we need to follow. If Jesus says do it, we need to do it. Amen. You know, when he talks about denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him, he says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, this is what it looks like. It might cost you everything. But you know what? He's not hiding that fact from you. He says, you know what? Newsflash, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Can I get a witness? For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 12 and 24, again, our main verse, one of our main verses. Listen to Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Jesus says, I'm going to be obedient to my Father. I'm not messing up my mission. I'm going to do what I was sent here to do. But if it dies, but if that seed dies, it bears much fruit. I'm going to read that again, and then I want us to give God glory. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Give the Lord some praise. Give Jesus. Because if that grain of wheat or that seed is planted in the earth and it dies, it bears much fruit. If that grain of wheat or that seed is planted in the earth and it dies, it's going to fulfill its destiny. It's going to do what it has been called to do. Amen. This is not just Jesus saying, this is what I'm going to do. He certainly is saying that. But he's also looking at me and you and saying, look, are you committed to this? Are you committed to being my follower? Are you committed to being my servant? Because there is some dying to self that needs to take place in each and every one of us. Can I get a witness? Look at Romans 5 and 19. Because Jesus was obedient to the Father, because of that wonderful, wonderful sacrifice that cost me and you nothing. It didn't cost us anything. So what if you're not the cool kid on campus anymore? So what if somebody scratches Jesus freak in the back of your car next to your Jesus fish? Who cares, man? Can I get a witness? Romans 5 and verse 19. That's what Jesus did for me. And so this should be something that propels us, or excites us to be obedient to our Lord and Savior when we think about what he's done for us. Romans 5 and verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. What's he talking about there? He's talking about Adam. He's talking about Adam dropping the ball. Well, hold on a second. I thought Eve was the one that did it first. She was, but who was put in authority? Adam was put in authority. So look here, the buck stops with Adam. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. It's in our DNA, man. We're sinners. It don't take us long to start being rebellious. Can I get a witness? For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. I've had 5 kids, man. I've watched them all, man, you know, be these beautiful, just cute and adorable little geezers, you know what I mean? But, you know, but man, immediately they're a little rebellious. There's this one time, man, and this just jumped into my mind a while back, and it made me chuckle because it was so cute. But it just shows you how we are, how it's in our blood, man. We are rebellious from the start. You know, so my oldest son, Paul Jr., I think I thought about this because I just went camping. I don't know. But years and years ago, when I only had Paul Jr., me, Rachel, Gene, and Paul Jr., PJ, tiny little family, we went camping with our neighbors. And our neighbors kind of had their tent was a little bigger than the one we had or whatever. So PJ, my son, he's a little guy, man, kept going to their tent. And my neighbor was like, hey, PJ, don't go in my tent no more, man. You're bringing dirt into my tent. I don't want no sand or dirt in my tent. He's just this little guy. We turn away, start talking again at the picnic table or something. Man, PJ runs, dude. He runs and dives in that dude's tent. Boom. And he's stomping all in there and everything. It was so cute and so precious. But see, the thing, man, is he was told not to do it. He was like, I don't care what you say, man. I'm going in that tent. That tent's cool. We're all like that. Can I get a witness? Romans 5 and verse 19. For it's by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. That's all of us. That's a problem, dude. That is a huge problem. We're all sinners. Okay, well, what's the problem with that? Nobody's perfect. That's the deal, man. Heaven's a perfect place for perfect people, and we ain't perfect. Amen? But Jesus said, I'm going to be obedient to the Father. I'm going to bridge that gap between a holy, just God and sinful man. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Listen to this. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. See what happened there? Jesus said, I'm going to do what I've been called to do. I'm going to fulfill the plan that the Father has given me. He knew what was waiting for him when he went into Jerusalem. He knew what was going to happen. And he still did it because of the love for me and you, for the obedience and the love that he had for the Father. Can I get a witness? So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So here's the deal. My sin, your sin, was placed on Jesus. He was made sin who knew no sin. He never once sinned. He never once crossed that line, not one single time. But my repulsive sins were placed on him. My sins alone are enough to make me want to vomit, man. You know what I mean? You know, some of that stuff that we don't like to think about when you're driving down the road, and you're like, my God, cannot believe that. Oh, yeah, I'm forgiven of that. Thank you, Jesus. You know, give the Lord some praise for that. You know, but all of our sins, not just the people at Victory Life Church, all of humanity's sins were placed on him, and his righteousness was given to me. See how unfair that is? How unfair that was to Jesus? But he did that for me and you. That is the good news right there, man. So give the Lord some praise, man. Thank you, Jesus. So by the one man's obedience, being obedient to the Father, the many will be made righteous. 1 John 5:11-12, talking about Jesus being obedient. He said that grain of wheat, it's got to die. It's got to die to self. It's got to be saying, you know what? I'm done with that whole thing where it's all about me and no one else. I'm done with that. That's what Paul has to say. I got to give it all to Jesus, man. You know what I mean? Don't he deserve it? Okay, so moving forward. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. How about them apples? Think about that, man. We get so caught up about, you know, seeing how long we can stick around this neck of the woods. And man, I get it. I mean, I get it, man. The older I get, the more I get it. Like, I don't want to miss nothing. I want to see my kids get married. I want to see my grandbabies or whatever. Man, there's things I like to see. But look, God says, look, you're just kind of passing through this. You're passing through this. Now, while you're here, understand that it's not really about you. Now, he has joy and peace, and he wants us to enjoy this journey so much. You know what I mean? But he says, you are a servant of the Most High God. You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. Now, honor God with your body. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this is life. And this life is in his Son. So how do we get eternal life? Only through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No other name was given under heaven by which men can be saved. But because of his obedience, a Christian, we don't have to fear death. Isn't that a blessing? In this crazy, crazy world that we live in, you know, we don't have to fear death. We can have joy in our heart no matter what, man. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It's a win-win for us. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's the only way you're going to get it is through him. Whoever has the Son, do you have the Son this morning? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Whoever has the Son has life. Now listen to this. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that seed has got to die. That seed has got to be planted. It's got to die to bear that fruit. And Jesus says, you, if anyone would come after me, you got to accept me, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, the old man, the person Paul used to be, he's dead. And now you are a new creation in Christ. You know, that's me, that's you. We're not that same person anymore. Now what we got to do is we got to reckon the old man dead. Can I get a witness? And we're a new creation in Christ, but our flesh still wants to be rebellious. Our flesh still wants to be disobedient to the Lord. So we gotta rebuke that nonsense. Can I get a witness? We gotta rebuke and say, nah, I'm serving God. Give the Lord some praise. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Whoever doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. Well, that's good news for us because we have the Son of God. You know, if you're a Christian, you got that fire insurance. Can I get a witness? You know, we don't have to fear what's going to happen to us, right? But think about this. Sincerely think about this. There's people in your world. There's people in my world. There's people in your world that have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. So here's the job. Here's the Great Commission. You know, we got to let that light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel, right? We got to let that light shine. We got to pray for those people. Pray for those people in our lives that have not accepted Christ, that God will convict them. And you know what? You know what helps a lot is if we live a godly life in front of them. You know what I mean? Because I haven't always been really, really good at that. I have not always been good at that. You know what I mean? I'll let a little bit of the flesh come out in front of people. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? Setting that bad example. You know, think about the damage we do in our own homes with our kids, you know, straddling that fence. Can I get a witness? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That should concern us. Philippians 2 and verse 8. Just kind of jumping around, man, reading some good scripture. But it's good stuff, right? Philippians 2 and verse 8. Talking about Jesus being obedient, saying, I'm going all the way. I'm not stopping short of it. I'm going to be obedient to God the Father. And being found in human form, this is Jesus Christ. Paul's talking about Jesus Christ. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. And that's really what we're talking about right now, is Jesus being obedient and how that's my template to follow. Humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See that? Even death on a cross, Jesus was obedient unto death, but even death on a cross. It wasn't some quick thing. It was agonizing. It was tormenting, and it wasn't fast. But Jesus said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to die like a criminal, like Isaiah talked about in Isaiah 53. People are going to think I'm a criminal. I'm going to die like a criminal. I'm going to die like a dog. I'm going to suffer, and it's going to be horrible. And I'm going to be paraded through the street naked. I'm going to have that crown of thorns. I'm going to be nailed to that tree. And people are going to mock me and spit at me and gamble over my stuff. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So Sister Nancy can be saved. So Sister Claudia can be saved. So Brother Dalton and Dustin and Scott and all of us can have eternal life. He said, I'm looking at the other side of it. I'm looking at the joy on the other side of it. I'm going to do this out of obedience and respect and love to the Father and for his creation. God's good, man. So if we're doing slides, we need to go to the next slide. John 12, 24 and 25. Truly, truly, I say to you, I like how Jesus is saying, like, listen up. This is a true statement here. Listen up. Anytime Jesus is talking, Travis, right? Anytime Jesus is talking, anytime you see red letter stuff, we better put our thinking caps on. Can I get a witness? Right? He's saying, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. It's not going to fulfill its destiny. It's not going to be what it was supposed to be unless it's put down into the earth. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Verse 25, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He says, Jesus just said it. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever is all about self-preservation, whoever is just, it's all about me. Whoever says, you know what, I am God. Because that's basically what we're saying, right? It's like, I am my own God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I got my code, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm a good person. It's all about me. You know, whoever says that I'm going to be my own little God, and I'm going to serve myself. Whoever does not have the Son, whoever does not have Jesus Christ, whoever loves this life, and the things that this life has to offer more than Jesus Christ, that's a problem. That's a no-no. Can I get a witness? He says, you're going to lose it. You ain't taking none of this with you. And it's so captivating. It's shiny and sparkly. And we waste our time. So often we waste our time with stuff that doesn't matter at all. Can I get a witness? Ecclesiastes 2 and 11. Ecclesiastes, so Solomon, smartest guy that ever lived, that's not my opinion, that's fact, that's what God says. Smartest guy that ever lived, most wealthy guy ever. So he had means, he had access to do whatever he wanted to do. He was the king of Israel. You couldn't tell him no, not and keep your head. You know what I mean? This dude could do anything he wanted to do. And he did everything he wanted to do, and he wrote a book about it. It's called Ecclesiastes. It's like the dude saying, I'm going to try everything that this world has to offer. And I mean everything this world has to offer. This is what the guy says. Ecclesiastes 2 and 11. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. I looked back at everything I did and all the energy I wasted doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. That's pretty poetic. That's pretty cool. It's like striving after the wind, man. It's like running after the wind. And there was nothing, listen to this, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. He said there's nothing to be gained under the sun. This dude, this king of Israel, the richest guy that ever lived, the smartest guy that ever lived, he could have anything he wanted. Anything he wanted, he had. And he said, it's nothing. It's nothing. In the end, it ain't nothing. Can I get a witness? Now look what Jesus says. Mark 8 and verse 36. This is good right here. Mark 8 and verse 36. Now think about this. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? That's something to think about, ain't it? Well, it's not like we're going to gain the whole world, right? But Solomon could have. Solomon could have anything he wanted to. He's like, it's like chasing the wind. It's nothing. It's a waste of time. You ain't taking none of this stuff with you. And then Jesus says, what if you had it all, man? What if you had it all? And that's scary. You know what I mean? Well, I'm a saved person. I love Jesus Christ. Goody. Good for you, good for me, right? Because I love my salvation. I love that peace that I have. In this crazy world, I love the peace that I have. But man, there are people in our world that are just running against. I want to sing that song so bad, but I'm not going to do it. Because I don't sing. I don't sing. If I ever thought, okay, I'm going to sing it. No, I'm not going to do it. So I had the throat cancer thing and I can't even pretend to sing no more. Yeah, kind of nipped it in the old bud. But look, Mark 8 and verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? It don't profit you nothing if you lose your own soul, right? Okay, look, okay, you don't have this one. You do have this one. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loves his life loses it. If it's all about you, it's nothing in the end. You got to have Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ, he says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me every single day. Amen. Whoever loves his life loses it. Have you ever checked out, have you ever read some of this stuff that some of these really, really strange and very wealthy people do? They're trying to live forever. They're doing all kinds of stuff, spending mad amounts of cash, trying to figure out how to live forever. I mean, it's really weird, like taking their consciousness and putting it into a computer or a robot or something like that, you know, or getting infused with young people's blood and stuff like that. It's not going to work. See, Romans, all they had to do is read the Bible. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. That's eternal separation from our God. We don't want that. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. Jesus, in his obedience, he paid for it. I didn't do anything for it. All I got to do is accept it. And then I got eternal life, man. That's a good deal. All these weird guys trying to do all this crazy stuff. And some of it is just really, really evil. It's just flat out evil. Some of the foul things people are doing to try and stay alive. And whoever hates his life in this world, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Well, that's good because I hate my life. I hate it. I hate it. I can't never get ahead in the world. I keep trying and trying, and not ever. He's not talking about that. We got to change our attitude anyways, if that's how you feel, right? Can I get a witness? We're blessed. We're blessed. Now, look, man, and I've certainly went down that road, man. I've definitely went down that road. But you know what? Think about this for a second. God granted us life here. We didn't have to exist. All right? You were born a winner. You were already a winner. You were the one that made it, dude, right? You didn't have to exist. Could have been any other gazillions of possibilities, right? When your mom and daddy was doing that nastiness. Forgive me, Lord. But look, you made it. You made it. Can I get a witness? God gave you life. You're a winner. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a winner. You're a real winner. He's a winner. He's a real winner. What are we doing? See, this is the point when I just kind of lost everything. Okay, so I know it, but you're a winner. You're a winner. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So what's important to you, this temporary world? We're just passing through. You ain't taking nothing with you. You know what? But you are taking something with you. You know what you can take with you? You can take souls with you to heaven. Yep. You can take souls with you. Or you can say, well, that's the preacher's job. And you can take people that you love to hell. So think about that, man. I'm not trying to be mean or cruel. That's the world that I've lived in. I've got the phone calls, man, late at night where another buddy of mine had passed away, overdosed. I've had it happen so many stinking times. And I'm like, man, I don't know. Did I say enough? Did I do enough? And I don't want that for you guys. You know what I'm saying? Now check this out. So what's important to us? Our eternity or the temporary? Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. And it ain't because we don't try. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Is that true? That's totally true. It's in Scripture. So we know it's true. But man, how many of you have lived that? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Or the King James says, you cannot serve God in mammon or materialism, the idol of materialism. So this God saying, you choose this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3. You guys got it? Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Set your minds on things above. We've got to keep our focus on the eternal. And the fact that we're only here for a certain amount of time. And what are we going to do with our time? Because you don't know how long you have. If anything, has recent events showed you and reminded you again? You don't know, man. You do not know how long you have. But I know this, that we want to be productive with the time that we have. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of this earth, those temporary things. The things that we waste our time chasing after. I'm not saying you can't have a good house, a nice house, fancy boat, car. I'm not talking bad about any of that stuff. All right? That's great. If you have that, don't hide it. Divide it, man. Some of you, never mind. I'm playing. But, you know, good. You worked hard. You earned it. Good for you. But you ain't taking it with you. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, God doesn't mind us. I know God doesn't mind us having rent. He just doesn't want that stuff to have us. Can I get a witness? And sometimes, man, let's be honest, sometimes the reason why we might not have that thing that we want so bad is maybe it's not the right time. Maybe we're not ready for that. Maybe that would mess up our relationship with the Lord. Maybe that would, you know, kind of slow us down a little bit, you know? Can I get a witness? Set your minds on things above, not on the things of this earth, for you have died. Remember that seed? That seed, it's got to be put in the ground and it's got to die, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. So Jesus is reminding us, man, you're not that person anymore. You are a new creation in Christ. That old man is dead. Now live like you're a new creation and be willing to pick up your cross every single day. Deny yourself every single day and say, it's not about me. It's about you. You are. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The NLT says, for you died to this life. That's powerful, man. You've died to this life. You're not bound by sin anymore. You don't have to give in to sin anymore. You have a new master. He says, follow that master. Okay, so let's go to the next slide, which I believe is the last slide, Clyde. Everybody, Clyde, Clyde, everybody. Okay, so look, man, looky here. We already read this verse. But I want to spend the remainder of our time regaling you with old sailor's tales. It was a dark and stormy novel. Okay, no. Just stay with me. I'm sorry. John, somebody said a minute ago, I was like, well, it's your fault. It is. I know. John 12 and verse 24. Just give me a couple more minutes, guys. Truly, and Lord God, thank you for using me. Please speak through me. John 12, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, right? Something that okay, so just to recap, this is Jesus talking about his mission and what he is for humanity so we can have eternal life. And because we've accepted that precious gift, he says, you need to understand something. If you love your life, you're going to lose it, man, because it's not about this world. But if you hate your life, and you serve me, oh, it's going to be so worth it. He's saying, deny yourself, just like Jesus Christ humbled himself and was obedient to the Father. He says, you humble yourself, Paul, and you be obedient to God. Don't waste your time here, man. Now, I want to point something out, man. Read this again. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If it don't die, it's not going to be what it was meant to be. It's not going to produce what it was meant to produce, right? But if it does die, it's going to produce much fruit. Now, I'll talk about Charlie Kirk for a second, okay? Now, this guy has really amazed me, okay? Listen, there's politics involved with this guy. I don't care if you agree with his politics or not, okay? I'm not even going to get into that, okay? But just hear me out for a second, all right? This guy, Charlie Kirk, loved God. He loved Jesus Christ, man, okay? And so he would go to these campuses all over the place, and he would have this open conversations, man, communication with people that saw things differently and just wanted to discuss stuff and tell people about Jesus Christ. The dude loved Jesus Christ, man, okay? So there you go, right there. That is your brother in Christ, okay? He loved Jesus Christ. I got a lot of friends, man, a lot of Christian friends that see politically things different than I do. But you know what? We love Jesus Christ, and that's our foundation, okay? And I'm not saying you disagree with the cat or not. I'm just trying to make a point that this dude loved Jesus Christ so much. And every time he talked, he told people about it. He told people about Jesus. So this guy was murdered, or he was assassinated, and he is a martyr. He is a martyr, okay? Give the Lord some praise. There is something supernatural that is going on in our world today. Something amazing that is going on. And let me read this. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Something about when a man or woman of God dies as a martyr, I can't explain it, but look through church history. But when a man of God dies as a martyr, God does. And this guy, he said, I'm going to deny myself and follow Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to pick up my cross and follow him wherever that leads me, whatever it looks like, with boldness. He gave the gospel to people that didn't want to hear it. He showed them the love of Jesus, people that didn't want to receive it. And in his life, he led thousands of people to the foot of the cross. In his life, he led thousands of people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. But when he died, there are thousands and thousands of people. This is true. Look it up, man. There's thousands of people that haven't been to church in years that got hurt at church. Can I get a witness? Yeah. But they're going back to church now. There's people that have never stepped foot in church in their life, and they're going to church. There are people that when they heard him speak, they're like, I don't need that. But now they've given their life to Jesus Christ. There's such a revival going on in the young people right now. And Satan thinks he's so smart. He thinks he's so, he silenced one mouth. But that mouth lived a full life of spreading the gospel. But he didn't even silence that mouth, because that mouth is speaking more and more than ever before, man. You know, and he's leading. One thing about that guy, he didn't waste his life. 31 years, man, 31 years on this earth. And he made a big difference. And God is making sure that in his death, which he ain't dead, he's more alive than ever. Amen. But through that death of that seed, it's bearing much fruit. And it's going to bear more and more fruit. And we do not want to miss this time. I want to encourage everybody to get into your prayer closet, spend time in scripture, spend time in the word. And you know what? Decide this day that I am not going to straddle the fence anymore, but I am going to serve God, that I'm going to make the time that I have on this earth count, that I'm going to show people the love of Jesus. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to let my life be a living witness. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. You are so good to us. Thank you for your Son that gave up his life in obedience so our sins can be forgiven, so we can have eternal life, Lord. Father God, thank you that that means something to us, that we will walk in that we will be obedient to you with all the days of our life, that we will serve you, that we will be what you've called us to be wholeheartedly. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.